Let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Heavenly Father, you know what's on each one of our hearts. We ask that you would attend to these things according to your needs. Bless us today as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to continue with the series I began several weeks ago, How to Change Your Family. And the first presentation I made was tearing down the walls between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between you and co-workers. We also talked about living with an empty conscience. And I want you we suggested that a very, very real need is that we would find forgiveness. To begin this morning, I want you to look at a text that we looked at before in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. And why do you look at the speck in your wife's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your husband, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your spouse's eye. Notice what it said. First, take the plank or take the beam out of your own eye. But notice the next line. And then you will see clearly how to remove the speck from your mate's eye. Do you know that we play a role in helping others change? I play a role in helping my wife become a better person. She plays a role in helping me become a better husband, becoming a better person. There is nothing wrong with desiring change in the life of a family member or friend. And if you were to make a list of all the things you would like your husband, your wife, or your children to change, you probably could make me a pretty good list. If you were to say to parents, make a list of all the things you would like your children to change, you'd probably could make a pretty good list, couldn't you? Or if you were a teenager, and I were to ask you to make a list of the changes that you would like to see in your parents, you would probably make me a pretty good list. You would see some things that they would like to start, and maybe some things that they would stop. You see, it is perfectly legitimate to want to affect change in the other person. That's our topic this morning, how to change your mate. How to change your mate. When we have torn the wall down on our side, when we get the beam out of our own eye, when we empty our conscience, when we confess to God and then to our fellow man, now we are free to try and effect change in the life of another person. We all need change. We could all profit from listening to the suggestion of others. The Scripture makes it plain how important it is that you listen to the suggestions, advice, and reproof of others, especially the people who are close to you. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. He that hateth reproof is brutish. That's how the King James Version writes it. From the New International Version, it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. The Bible is pretty plain, pretty blunt, too, isn't it? How about Proverbs 12:15? The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Beware. If you are a person who is always right, your wife is never right, your children are never right, your husband is never right, beware if that's your attitude. Proverbs 13:8, he who ignores discipline comes to poverty and shame, but whoever heeds correction is honored. Husbands, you want to be honored? Listen to your wives. I thought I would get an amen on that one. Wives, you want to be honored? Listen to your husbands. That's a little one, a little better. Proverbs 23:12. Listen to this one. Apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. So what Solomon is saying, he says, go out and seek the advice of other people. Go out and ask them to tell you how you could change and what needs to be changed in your life. Proverbs 25:12 says, like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Rebuke, correction, advice is a great thing of value, especially when it's from a family member or friend. Proverbs 27:6. The kisses of an enemy may be profuse, but fateful are the wounds of a friend. You see, wounds from a friend are good for you. They may cut you once in a while, but it is for your own good. The person who doesn't care about you, they may give you many kisses, but they don't care enough about you to advise you or to rebuke you. They just kiss you and tell you what they think you need to hear or want to hear because they are taking advantage of you. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Why? So we might grow up and be like Jesus. We all want to be like Jesus, don't we? Yeah. You see, none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all need advice. We need correction. We need the rebuke of the people around us. And who knows us better than our families? The person that's in the best position to advise me on how to be a good husband is Donna. And the people who are in the best position to advise me on being a better father is my children. Would you acknowledge with me that there's no one that is perfect? Dr. Gary Chapman tells how he asked a question. He had one of these marriage seminars, and he had a large audience, and he asked a question, do you know anyone who is perfect? And the man on the front row, he shot up his hand, he says, yes, my first wife's husband. The fact is, there are no perfect husbands, there are no perfect wives, there are no perfect children, and there are no perfect parents. All of us need help. Jesus can help. The problem, you see, with many of us, we try to effect positive change in the lives of our family, and we don't know how to do it. You see, to effect positive change in the life of a family member, we cannot abandon love. But when we want to change our family members, we usually abandon love in our efforts to make that change. But remember what 1 Corinthians 13 says. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. Love does not demand its own way. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrong. By nature, when we try to effect change in family members, we do it by verbally bombing them out. We shoot our own wounded. We go in and we verbally give it to them. We verbally abuse our children and think we're going to get positive change in response to the verbal bomb we just dropped on them. We do the same thing with our husbands and wives. You should do this or you should do that. Or you should have been such and such a place. We go in and we shoot them right out of the saddle and we wonder why they don't make positive change. We give it to them straight. This is what you want to do, woman. We give it to them and we wonder why they don't change for the better. You see, we forgot love in the process, and we don't affect positive change by verbally abusing someone. Yes, we may get change, but it will not be positive. I want to give you some ideas this morning how to affect positive change in your spouse or in your children. I believe you wives can help your husbands become better husbands. And I believe you wives can help your husbands become better husbands. And I believe you parents can help your children become better children. I believe that we can affect positive change in each other. But the process, you see, has to do with understanding love. Because love is patient and love is kind. The way to affect positive change is to make requests rather than demands. If you want to change someone positively, you make a request rather than a demand. And that applies not only in the family, it applies at work. It applies in every relationship. If you want to affect positive change in any person, you need to make requests rather than a demand. Now, most of us have learned this in the secular setting, and we practice it in the relationships outside the family. But usually when we come home, we are like grumpy old bears, especially to our children and to our wives or vice versa. For example, if I want Brian to make me a CD or a DVD, I don't walk up to Brian at church and say, I need this copied. Do it right away. I would ask Brian, I would do it this way. I would say, Brian, would it be possible that you could make me a copy of the sermon or the CD this morning? You know, he's never said, no, there's no way that I'm going to do that for you. It's amazing how well people respond to requests. Now, children will respond to demands because they're afraid of the consequences. And yes, people in the workplace at times respond to demands, but it doesn't do anything to build the relationship. You see, change takes place, but it's only external. Change don't take place in the heart. So I want to give you three steps this morning on how you are to make requests. And I can guarantee you, if you'll put these three steps into practice, you will see positive change in your family. Number one, choose the setting. Number two, don't overdose. And number three, precede your request with a compliment. Number one, choose the setting. Number two, don't overdose. And number three, precede your request with a compliment. Number one, choose the setting. And under the heading, choose the setting, there is a time, A, time. You choose the time to make the request. You don't make a request any time you feel like it. You choose the time, and your time should always be after a meal. Never when the parent is hungry or tired, or the spouse is hungry or tired. Now, kids, you listen to this. You want that new skateboard? You want that new bicycle, motorcycle, automobile? If you're going to make a request, wait till after the meal. Never go to your parents and make a request from them the moment that they walk in the door, because the chances are you are going to lose. You see, dad or mom is tired. They've been at work all day. They've been through a lot of stuff. And if you ask them while they are tired, you are not likely to get your request. But wait until after supper. They have eaten their meal. Maybe mom or dad is sitting in the easy chair. You go and put your arms around their neck and give them and hug them. Already it's going to melt their hearts. Then you make your request, and you'll have a good chance that you will get what you ask. Make your request after the meal. You understand that, right? Antonio, you understand that? Make your request after the meal. Husbands, wives, please do not make requests of each other the moment you walk in the door. A husband meets his wife at the door, and she just walks in, she kicks off her shoes, and he says, I want you to do such and such a thing. You got to do it right now. Get in the car and drive downtown and take care of this. You know what she says? What do you mean? I just walked in the house. I'm tired and hungry. I worked 8 hours today also. You go do it yourself if you want it done, or is that important? I hadn't had a break all day, and my feet are killing me. You wait till after the meal. If she cooks the meal, compliment her on the meal. You clear the table. Choose the right time, and then make your request. After a meal, never before the meal. The second thing I want you to understand, choosing the setting, is the place. The place should always be in private. Never make your request in public. Never make a request of your spouse in front of other people, because you may get what you ask, but there will be consequences. Let's suppose you and several other couples are going to meet at a restaurant for supper together. Your husband walks in and you say, phew, why did you have to wear that ugly shirt today? You can be sure he will wear that thing until it is threadbare. Now, if you had have asked him in private when he was alone, and if you were to say, you know, honey, I'd like to make a request for you. That shirt that you wore today for supper, it did not do anything for you. I think you are so handsome. Why don't we give that shirt to the Goodwill? And you know, chances are that he would give up that shirt in a moment. Do not do it in public. You see, when you do it in public, especially men, we got this image thing that goes on. You may not think it is there, but it is. You're not likely to get your request that you make in... You're likely to get your request if you make it in public, because you will shame them into it. But you're going to lose something in the relationship. It's like putting bricks back in the wall. Do you understand what I'm saying? The third thing under the setting C is the feelings of the other person. The feelings of the other person. Consider their emotions. Do they feel like that they could take a request tonight? Some nights we can't. Some nights we have had it. All day long, people have made requests of us at work, and we are up to here, and we got absolutely nothing else to give. Now, how do you find out if a family member is emotionally ready to receive a request? The best way I know how is to ask. They can only say one or two words, yes or no. You just say, Daddy, sweetheart, Bobby, do you feel you could take a request tonight? They can only do one of two things. Yes or no. And if they say no, I can guarantee you within 30 minutes they will be back wanting to know. In fact, they are dying to know what your request is. By the way, what about that request you wanted? Oh, it's all right, sweetheart. I can wait until tomorrow or the next day. We can talk about it then. Well, I'm feeling better now. What is your request? What has happened? You have made them, you helped them feel better or get better emotionally to receive your request. Do not dump requests on somebody. Find out where they are emotionally. It's all right to ask, can you take a request tonight? It's all right to ask permission. You are far more likely to have a positive response if you checked on their emotions. Number two, not only should you choose the setting, but do not give an overdose. Now, by nature, that's what we do. We have a whole list of changes that we want he or she to make, and one night we get up enough courage to make a request. We give that request to he or she. I wish you would practice being on time for Sabbath school. It really bothers me that we arrive late. Is that a legitimate request? Why, sure it is. We find out, though, that it is so easy, then we give them the overdose. By the way, when you finish with your meal, would you take the dishes and put them in the dishwasher? Don't understand how a grown man can get up from the table and not pick up his dishes. It seems to me a grown man could do something like that. And one more thing is bothering me. Your clothes all over the house. You would think a grown man could pick up his socks and underwear and put it in the hamper. Oh, why don't you clean off the top of your dresser sometimes? Seems to me it would be just as easy to put it in the drawer as put it on top of the dresser. Why, you're worse than a child. Didn't your mother teach you anything? You don't even know how to hang up a coat. Now what's happening? They are nitpicking. They're giving an overdose. Let me ask you, is it all right to wish that your spouse or your children would help around the house? Why, sure it is. But can you see what happens when we give them all those things on the same night? Wow, we shoot them dead. You can't expect them to do anything now because they are dead. You make five requests of me in one night, I can't respond to five things all at once. One at a time. One at a time. What I want to suggest is one request a week. That's 52 a year. That ought to be enough. Honestly, folks, a spouse can only handle one request a week, from a family member. In fact, some of you can't handle that. Some of you have to say, hold on, honey, just once every couple of weeks. Many spouses destroy each other, you see, by giving an overdose of requests, which comes across as condemnation. You make all these requests in one night, it comes across as condemnation. It doesn't come across to stimulate change. It comes across as condemnation. Do you understand? Yes. Dr. Gary Chapman tells about a man who came to his office and told them how he was leaving his wife. He said, I've been married to the woman for 8 years, and I have yet to please her just once. I want you to know this, Dr. Chapman, because she respects you, and the moment she realizes that I'm gone, she's going to be sitting in your office, and I want you to know the reason why I am leaving her. He went on to say, I can't remember a day in 8 years that my wife didn't point out something that was wrong with me or something that she didn't want change. He said, when I get up in the morning, she says, I wish you would sit up straight. You're going to be humpback, man. Why did you have to wear that shirt today? Do I have to dress you also? She tells me every day how to sit, how to walk, how to drive, how to talk to the kids, how to talk to her, what I should be watching on the television. Every day she tells me what I ought to do and what I ought to be changed. And Dr. Chapman, after 8 years, if I am that bad, I believe the woman deserves something better. That's why I'm leaving. The woman came to his office just as the husband told Dr. Chapman she would. When Dr. Chapman told her what her husband had said, she says, "Oh, Dr. Chapman, I was just trying to help him." Trying to help him, she had killed him. She killed his love. Folks, we can't handle that kind of stuff day in and day out. Every day this type of thing goes on, it destroys our self-worth. No wonder we have problems in our marriages. When we get this kind of overdose, you've got to change this, or you've got to change that. And this goes on day after day and month after month. And in this man's case, year after year, we think the woman must not love us or the man must not love us. And we wouldn't live long enough to please the person. And we leave. But folks, you must not leave. You must stay. You must seek a constructive, positive way to affect change. We destroy each other by pointing out every day the things that need to be changed. 51-52% of every marriage in America ends in divorce. The number one problem in these marriages is either finances or net picking. 75% of second marriages end in divorce. 52% of children in America today is living in single-parent homes. Morally, we are bankrupt. We need help. Folks, the devil is doing battle with husbands and wives and families. And we can't do it on our own. We need help. Every week you pick out one request you would like your spouse or your children to work on this week. They don't have to know that you have 60 things on your list. One thing. That's all that they're aware of. And they can handle that. Once a week. Romans 8:28 says, and we're all acquainted with this text, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But verse 29 is the answer to verse 28. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. The whole reason we live on this earth today is to conform to the image of Jesus, to be like Him. To be like Jesus, what an example we can be, not only in the home, but in the community in which we live. You see, all of us are still in the process. I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet, and He has been working on me for a long time. You see, it takes time to affect positive change. Not only should you choose the setting and not give an overdose, but you are to precede your request with a compliment. Precede your request with a compliment. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Do you remember that? Revelation 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's Jesus. He's speaking to the church of Ephesus. He says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. And then in verse 3, He tells them how great they are. And then in verse 4, He says, yet I hold this against you. You see, He gave them one request after He gave them three compliments. If you were to look in Revelation 2 and 3, look at all the seven churches, you'll find that Jesus commended them first, then He told them what they needed to change. What a lesson for us. If we are to affect positive change in family members, we first of all point out some of the good things that they are doing before we make the request for change. Let's say that Donna wants to make a request of me tonight that I should not leave my jacket on the living room chairs. Now, most of you have been at our house. We've got a nice big dining room table, and there's 8 chairs around us. Do you know that there are times that I've got 8 jackets or shirts or a sweater on each one of these chairs? Now, what can I say? I'm a slob. You know, I come in, I'm out, I come in with groceries or whatever it is, I walk out of the kitchen, take my jacket off and hang it on the back of a chair. It just seems a natural thing to do. But these jackets and shirts and sweaters or whatever it is on the back of the chairs, it really bugs her. It causes her great irritation. So she wants to see me change my life. She wants to see me as a man rather than a child, not messing her house up. So it's her night to make a request that I should not leave my coat or shirt. Now, folks, let me tell you this on my behalf. I do not have all 8 chairs filled up most of the time. And, well, let me get on. It's her night to make the request that I should not leave my coat or jacket on the back of the chair. Now notice the steps that she takes. She approaches me after the meal and she asks me if I can take a request. And I assure her that I'm ready. She says, "Honey, I really appreciate the fact that you clean the table and help wash the dishes. I know women that complain that their husbands never does anything around the house. Second, I want you to know how much I appreciate the fact that you put gas in the car. I hate having to put gas in the automobile. 1, 2, 3, are you ready? My request is that you take your jacket and you hang it in the closet." That's why we design houses with closets in them. "Hang your jacket in the closet. Put them in their proper place." Folks, I can handle that. I had no idea it bothered her. Never bothered my mother. No idea that it bothered her. But Donna, you see, she's asking me to make a change in my life. I could say, "Woman, that is so stupid. I've always done this for near 65 years now. I've been doing it that way." I could say that. But chances are I won't, because she followed the pattern that I laid out for you. Why? Because I'm already better than some husbands, and I certainly want to be a better husband. Don't you guys want to be better husbands? Why, sure you do. And my wife, bless her heart, she's telling me how I can be better. Oh, what a woman. She loves me. She's helping me. Isn't that what Proverbs said? Get all the help that you can. I want to be the best husband I can be. She loves me, and she's telling me how I can be better. Folks, this is good stuff. Amen? What happened? What happened? She has effective, positive change in me. Glory to God. Now, what Donna did a couple of weeks ago to help me out when I come in the house, we have a closet door, and, you know, I got her winter coats is in it, my winter stuff. So she brought one of them little things to hang over the door. So now I don't have to try to get that stuff in the closet. I can just hang it over one of them little things on the door. It works out just so nice. So what has happened? She has effective, positive change in me. Can you imagine what will happen in the home if you will follow this? Can you imagine the change that will take place in 3 months? Glory to God, what a family. You know, if we were to do this for 3 months once a week, one of these days your spouse is going to say, "Oh, I don't have any requests tonight." Oh, you're making progress now. I don't get many requests, but every now and again one will come. And I can handle that. It's a small price to pay for a happy woman. You know, we got these blinds, you know, like these blinds right here, you know, Venetian, is that what you call them, Venetian blinds? But I have a habit of getting up in the morning and I'll just open one side. Or I'll open both sides, but you know, one set is tilted farther than the other set. And out on the front of the road, it don't look good. So Donna says, she makes a request. She compliments me. She says, this is what I want you to do. Open both blinds where the lats are both even, you know. They're even and they look better from out on the road. And that's the truth. Folks, it's a small thing to do to make life run smoothly in the house. Now let me also tell you this. Maybe you're going to leave here. Your spouse is not here with you today. And you're going to go home and you can say, I really enjoyed what the pastor said today. Honey, I'm going to make some request of you. Now, don't go home and do this and tell him you're going to make him a better husband or a better wife. You go home, if this is what you do, you go home and say, honey, I wish you would have been at church with me today. The pastor talked about how to change your mate. And I know that I have not been all that I should be. And he talked about making requests to see changes made in our lives. If you would like, you can make a request, one a week, from me, everything you would like to see changed. And by God's grace, I'll do my very best to change. Do you know what? After 2 to 3 months, that spouse will come to you and be requesting that you would be making request of him, because he will see the change that has taken place in you. Now folks, this is not something you can do yourself. You need a power from outside yourself. You need Jesus. Ask him. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my Father's throne, he tells us in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. In fact, to all the 7 churches, he says, to him that overcome. You want to overcome your bad habits or the things that irritate your spouse, ask Jesus, and he will help you. But let me say this in closing. You will never be able to measure up and be perfect in every request. But we as Christians, especially as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we are to be like Jesus. Do you know Jesus accepts us just as we are? In 1 Peter 4:8 it says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. May God bless you as you put these practical principles at work in your home, in your family. To God be the glory. Amen.